Hey folks, this is Gus G from Firewind, and you're talking rock with Dave and Shane.
It's Shane McGachlin!
Hey everybody, this is Joe Linter.
Hi everybody, this is Rob Halford.
Rudy Sargent.
Hi there, this is Steve Hackett.
Hey folks, this is Rick Emmett of Triumph, and we're talking rock with Dave and Shane.
Gus G on tour right now with Firewinds in Vienna, and the album is Stand United, came out March 1st. The latest single is Fallen Angel, and it's heavy. The whole album's heavy, man.
Yeah.
Congratulations on your 10th release. Is that right?
Thank you. Yeah. 10th album. Yeah.
How does that feel, going into this album and just what are you feeling right now? It's got to be a thrill to play these new songs on the road.
It's good. I mean, it's good to revamp the set list, make it a bit more fresh, to add some new stuff. All the new material that we've been playing gets really good reaction right away. Even they're brand new songs, so this is a good sign, I guess. And it's good, man. It's good to do this. It's kind of unbelievable that we've been doing this for 25 years. Oh, not 25, wow. But 22 years. We're excited, man. We're excited. I feel that something cool is happening right now. I don't know why. It's kind of strange, after all this time to get that feeling. A lot of musicians that have been doing it that long maybe think they're hoping things are going on autopilot, I guess. But for us, I feel like something cool is happening right now, which is a good thing, yeah.
But is this the band clicking, or you just feel like there's the response from the crowds? And
I think it's just a combination, and we're in a good place within the band because we went through a lot of lineups, so it works really well between us right now with the band. So it really feels really good between us in the band, but also like the reaction that we're getting for the album. It's a combination. I don't know. Just the shows, and we've been trying to update a little bit our stage show. We have more lights now, bigger productions. The first time we're bringing production out, and
nice.
It's working, it's good.
Yeah. It feels like there's been a resurgence for metal for some time now, but 2024 has just started off as a banger. You guys are out with new material. Bruce Dickinson, Priest, Ace Frehley, that's more hard rock, but still, and there's still more cool stuff coming out. Saxon put some stuff out not long ago. How does it feel to be a part of this really cool, I think probably the best year for metal, like new stuff coming out in a long time? That's what it seems like.
Yeah, you're right. Like it's a really interesting time for like the classic metal right now. There's a lot of modern bands that are doing amazing things, but
yeah.
Like you just said, Saxon put a great album out. Bruce Dickinson played a great album. Put out a great album, which I, by the way, I played a solo on his new album too.
Yeah. Oh man, yeah. I want to ask you about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Judas Priest killer album, Invisible Shield. I just heard it the other day. So like all the our fathers of metal are still alive and well, and they're kicking ass more than ever. So. It's just great. It's a great month, actually. March. All these guys put out albums, So it's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, we wanted to ask you about the Mandrake project. You played on Eternity Has Failed. How did that whole thing come about, Gus? Were you in the studio with them, or did you work remote, or how did that whole process, and how did you end up playing on that?
Yeah, it was done remote. I was on tour, actually, when I got the call to do the solo. Just like now, in a room somewhere in Europe. And we had a day off, and I booked like a hotel room, and I set up a small home studio. And I just recorded there my solo, and I sent it over to Roy Z. And it came through Roy, actually. I never got to interact with Bruce or talk to Bruce, but I've known Roy for a long time. We've been buddies for We've been friends for 20 years, 21 years. So we go way back. You know, we toured together when I was in Aussie and he was playing in Rob Halford's solo band. So we did a couple of months together in America. So yeah, it's just, you know, it's a relationship that goes way back. And he kept telling me, I knew he was working on a new Bruce album for a long time. He said, I'm working on it, but we don't know. And he said, he always kept telling me, oh man, I would love to do something, you know, have you on there and we can just trade leads. I was like, yeah, hell yeah. You know?
Oh man.
Whenever you want, just let me know and I'm here. And finally, you know, he just reached out and said, hey man, I'm doing this and I have this song. And it's like, it's another Maiden song, Iron Maiden song that it's like a reimagined version of it because it was originally a Bruce song that Steve Harris heard it and they Maiden took it, blah, blah, blah. And then now Bruce is doing like the original version of it. I'm like, oh, cool. So yeah. I'm just forever thankful to Roy for this opportunity. So Roy, if you're watching this, thank you, brother. I love you.
Yeah, man. And Roy, we want to talk to you too, you know? Sometime. Yeah.
Huh? What's that?
No, and I said, Roy, we'd love to talk to you too sometime. Yeah,
absolutely. You should definitely have Roy in the show. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, we'd love to.
Yeah, I remember when Maiden put that song out, I want to say it was 2015 or something, and it was a whole powerful track. It was a whole mood, you know, and you hear obviously more Bruce in it, and it's a different version. It's so cool. I love how, and he kind of did that with, I think, the Wicker Man. There was something like that too. There's the Wicker Man, the Iron Maiden song from the reunion album Brave New World, but then there was a Bruce version or something different, I think. I want to say anyway.
I wasn't aware of that.
I think like there's a maybe they're two different. I think they're similar. Yeah. But I got to double check that. I know there's a Bruce version and at least with the same title, but, you know, Bruce has always had such a unique sound, and to be part of that, it's gotta feel really cool, you know, because his solo stuff is like otherworldly.
It's as big of an honor and a thrill, like as the time when I played with Ozzy, you know, and I, you know, hearing your guitar tone next to those legendary voices, it's like, oh my God, is that really me there? Like,
wow,
it's just mind blowing. So I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, totally, dude. Yeah.
when you do the solo and stuff for that, are you trying to keep the original out of your head, or are you just trying to approach it from a completely different place when you get like an assignment like that?
Well, obviously, if we're gonna talk about this specific song right now, Eternity Has Failed. Obviously, there was a guideline a little bit because there was a melody, a guitar melody that kept going on for I think a minute and a half, and then there was like these breaks with lead breaks. So I did re-record the original melody like it was. You know, I didn't mess around with that. I did it my way, but I still kept all the notes intact as they were. And then like on top of that, like I traded leads with Roy, basically. I think Roy takes the first lead and I do another one. So I think what I did there was just, if I remember correct, I just recorded all over the place. I just sent a lot of tracks. And yeah. I said to Roy, because he didn't tell me what will go where. I said, okay, here it is. Do your magic over it. You know, edit out the parts you don't want to keep. Keep what you want to keep. Let me know. It was like one of those things.
Yeah.
And I just let him do his thing. And I hadn't heard the mix until actually the album came out. I didn't even dare to ask, you know, I was like, okay. Yeah. But I did get a message from him at some point and said, oh yeah, Bruce heard the solo. He loved it. I was like, okay, cool. Yeah. Great.
That's awesome. Nice. Very cool, man. Yeah. Yes. You're part of this resurgence there. This great 2024 in many different ways, man. That's really cool. You mentioned Ozzy. I actually saw you, I think one time I saw Ozzy, I want to say it was 2010, 2011. And I saw you were playing a guitar for Ozzy. How did that, I mean, I know you've talked about this a lot, but would you mind talking about just that story? I mean, you know, like,
sure.
It's one thing that you're sound checking with the band, but then you're playing with Ozzy and then, well, there's a whole story on how it began. I know. Right.
Well, it was just an email, the whole thing. Like somebody found me from the management and I think they were scouting guitar players and they just like, we're thinking of you for that, for the position in Ozzy as a guitarist. I'm like, what, me? I'm like, who? So, yeah, they flew me out. I did an audition, went really well. And they were right there on the spot. They said, would you like to come back and do a show with us? And I think they just wanted to try me out. So I think he had some corporate event or something for like a BlizzCon thing, like some convention. And that was my first show with him. And then right after that, he said, well, we're going to do another festival. We have like a festival in LA in a couple of weeks. You want to come back for that? So I came back. And from there on, everything went very fast. You know, like the next day I found myself in his house listening to the new music he was working on. And I started tracking some solos. And then that went on to become more of a serious official thing, you know?
Yeah. Well, on the new album, Fallen Angel, you said in an interview it was about a celestial battle between good and evil. Some of the other songs, like, where do you come up with these ideas for songs? Like, is it something you're reading at the time, or a movie or something, or just something, you know, in a dream when you come up with concepts for songs?
I think all of what you mentioned, actually, depending. Like, I do get inspired a lot by movies because I love cinema. I love watching films. So sometimes that's, I don't know, inspiration from movies, from soundtracks, from other music, from, I don't know, like I said, from dreams, from things like certain thoughts. Like the original idea that we had for this album was to call it like Cardinal Sins and talk about that kind of thing and kind of like dedicated each song to a cardinal sin, so to speak. But then we kind of like shifted away from that. We kept a little bit of that, but we shifted away because Firewind is not a band that writes fantasy lyrics. We are always writing about what is, you know, the struggles and the dreams and the thoughts of a human mind. So we always talk about these things, more like realistic stuff. And we do talk a lot about that on the last album. And, you know, Fallen Angel is a song that is, okay, we took a bit more of a biblical approach, you know, like a good versus evil and all that stuff. And, you know, the temptations, there's always temptations in life. Everybody goes through that one way or another.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not talking religion here. I'm just talking about in general, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, world events right now are obviously, something that we're all very aware of. You know, it's in the news every day, and it's just sometimes it's very hard to deal with. Does that play into it as well when you're, you know, even on a song like Fallen Angel, there's a constant battle between good and evil here as well, you know?
Everyday life, you mean?
Yes, in everyday life.
Absolutely, man. Like, I don't know. All it takes is just turn on the news and then you just, it's kind of funny. I don't know about America, but you know, in Greece where I live, there's a segment on the news, on the 8 o'clock news. Like, of course, the whole news is all about disasters, catastrophes, deaths, all kinds of stuff. And then there's like a small segment that lasts up for about half a minute. And they say, and the good news of the day is something, and that's like a little section, you know.
We know this all too well.
Yeah, Shane and I both work in news, TV news, and we try to find those good stories, but it's hard. It's really hard, yeah, right? With everything going on.
We need more of them.
Depressing. I'm like, I don't turn on the news much these days. I'll read I'll read through them, like scroll real quick to see if something really terrible happened.
Pretty much.
An atomic bomb dropped or something.
Right.
Just move on.
God.
Is that like, I mean, that's why I love the title of the album, Stand United. I mean, I know that can mean many different things, but is that, because I feel like metal is a uniting, right, Shane? You feel like we talked about this, metal is a uniting force. I mean, music in general, but there's such a great, in that particular genre, I feel like there's such a great fandom. And I feel like it's what really helps people pull together, you know, in these crazy times. Is that kind of an idea related to the album too, or?
Yeah. I mean, it's the, you know, you can interpret it in many ways. Like when I wrote that, I was thinking, of course, like the feeling that we have within the band right now, that we are very united, very, everybody's on the same page, but also in metal community. Metal community is, there's certain type of brotherhood. You know, you can connect with somebody who's into this music from all over the world, like instantly. Like, and there's just that sense of, I don't know, that sense of brotherhood, that sense of like, unity, because music like brings us together. Like music is the weapon there. And it's kind of, it's kind of miraculous if you think about it. Like you can go to any corner of the world and you can bond with like somebody who's into rock or metal, like right away, no matter what they believe in, what their background is. It doesn't matter. Like when we are all, like you can become friends with somebody just by watching him, like seeing wear Iron Maiden shirt.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, cool shirt, dude. Like, and then you just.
Bond.
Yeah.
So that's like, you don't see that. There's not many things that bring people like that together. So if you think about it, like it's a pretty powerful thing, you know, music has that power.
Yeah, it really does.
Now, was metal big in Greece, you know, growing up? Was that kind of stuff? Or because I was just in Milan and in Italy last week, and everything is 80s dance and Italian disco. That's all I heard in every car, bus, train, every place I went, restaurant. And I'm like, where's the metal?
The same thing in Greece, you know, Greek music, Greek folk music, Greek pop music. This kind of oriental stuff, whatever, but there is a metal, I wouldn't say heavy metal is a culture in Greece where I live. It's not at all. It's a very underground thing, but there is a very loyal audience. So in that sense, you know, a lot of metal bands go there and play club shows, big club shows. We have a couple of festivals that do really well. And a lot of bands, you know, international bands come to Greece all the time. A lot of tours come through Greece. Pretty much just like anywhere else, man. Like, okay, I wouldn't say like in America, because in America, you know, guitar, the electric guitar is kind of like the national instrument. In Greece, it's not that. So, and you have blues music and the roots and all that stuff. So, but like for most of Europe, you know, everybody has their own cultural folk thing when it comes to music. But then there's always like that metal community, that underground metal community that is strong. So that's how I would describe it.
Very cool.
Well, was there a country, like when you first started, you know, touring internationally, was there a country that stood out to you as like, you know, that like, what was that first country that really first got fire winds and that really first got what you were doing in your music? And how did that feel when you first felt that?
It was Japan. Mm. The first kind of success we ever had was in Japan.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because they like traditional guitar players, like in that sense, that's playing, you know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. Because, you know, like guys like Richie Blackmore, Michael Schenker, Yngwie Malmsteen, those guys are gods in Japan. So because I'm within that kind of style, I would say I'm very heavily influenced by the guys I just mentioned. And my style is kind of similar. They took a liking to my style from early on, and believe it or not, that was the first country that we ever got to tour in and play our first shows, and they were kind of disastrous because we had no experience. You know, we hadn't done our groundwork. We just like four guys randomly did a few rehearsals and flew to Japan, but you know, it's been a place where I got my career start, and that was kind of like the first country that caught on to what I was doing and fire. And yeah,
I love their culture because they still value the CD. They love the CD. They still have big CD stores. They love vinyl.
They still have Tower Records. That's crazy.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I love that.
I almost lost my mind when I was over there like 5 years ago and I saw it and I just was like, oh my, this is great.
Yeah.
They had a Blockbuster there. They had a Toys R Us. They had all kinds of stuff we don't have anymore. But they're some of the most loyal fans in the world, aren't they?
They really are. They really are. Like, we have fans that have been following us since the very beginning. And you're right. Like, they have, like, a big kind of area with small CD shops and vinyl and things like that. They love all that stuff, you know? Very loyal audience, a very loving audience. They always bring us gifts, you know, and very polite people, very, you know, like, I love Japan for so many reasons. And of course, the culture, like, I've been there like 15 times in my life. And every time is like, I'm equally shocked as the first time. I'm thinking, man, what is this place? It's incredible. It feels like it's like 50 years ahead of time. Or
something. Yeah. It's magical. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guess how did you end up finding your sound? I mean, you talked about your influences, but gear wise, I know you've worked with ESP a lot, right? Or you still do, I think. Talk about
I'm with Jackson actually since 2016. I'm sorry.
That's right. My fault. Sorry about that, Jackson. What's it like? I mean, how did you find your, you know, how did you come to Jackson Guitars? What was it like kind of connecting with them and everything?
Well, you know, like you said, I did play ESP for about 12 years, and around 2015, 16, I met the people from Jackson, and, you know, a lot of the people that I worked with at ESP were leaving the company. So, you know, some of my models were discontinued, like they were going through a lot of changes, and it was like, you know, I was looking for a company. I started thinking about the future, you know, like working with a company that has a team that understands what I do, and we kind of like on the same page. And right around that time, Jackson guys came around and they made me some guitars that were fantastic to play, you know, and of course such a legendary brand.
Yeah.
And I just felt like that connection with the team, with the people, with the guitar makers, and also I felt more, I could relate more to the brand as a history and who was there, who is there, you know, like they have guys like Adrian Smith, like Randy Rhodes. I wanted to be part of that, you know, like that type of legacy, that type of roster. So it was, you know, when they asked me about doing a guitar, a signature guitar, it was a big honor for me. And yeah, because I don't want to be like, I know a lot of guys jump from brands to brands, and I don't want to do like endorsements like that. It's not my style, you know. But it was just one of those things where it got to a point where I just had to, you know, make the change. And it has nothing to do really with the guitars, because to be honest with you, all the guitar brands right now, everybody's making great instruments.
Yeah.
So you can just pick and choose whatever you like. I'm not knocking anybody. But yeah, for me, that was the right thing to do. And they've been the most valuable partner I've had, actually.
Nice. Yeah, I've always wondered how musicians find their, you know, it's like you have your influences, but you like some people like play an SG because, you know, Pete Townsend played that, or some people play, or sometimes it's just what feels right, I guess, right? Or a combination.
And I grew up playing a Fender Stratocaster, and Jackson is part of the Fender family. Like Fender owns Jackson and the sub brands and EVH and Charvel. I just felt really close to that.
Totally, man. Very cool.
You have such a unique career, Gus. You're a journeyman. You play with a lot of different people. You guest on a lot of things, even on dark metal band from Greece, the Daylight Misery, which I love that track. I mean, I love that EP and stuff. And
Okay.
Yeah. I just fell in my lap somehow, but I just, how do you, when you were working with Ozzy and you're in this band kind of situation, and I know there were some communication issues and stuff, we don't have to get into all that, but was that hard for you? Cause you were sort of saddled in that situation where you were waiting to do work, and, or were you just doing your own thing anyway, while you were still working with in that period of time?
Well, I mean, when we knew we were doing stuff and it was happening, it was, you know, it was great. It's the thing is, when the tour ended, you never knew what was coming up next or if you were still part of the team. And I understand, because, you know, they have other things to do. They have a lot of things that they're doing. You know, the Osbournes is a multi, it's a brand, it's a big brand that has, what do you call it? Like multi businesses, Passive. I guess.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, I wasn't sure what was going on at all times. But, you know, for a good amount of years, they kept calling me back to do, whether it was one-offs or short tours, you know, because my original deal that I had with them was to do an album and a world tour. And, but, you know, I kept on working with them until, I don't know, for like, it went on for 6 or 7 years, which was fantastic, you know. But of course, you know, like when you never know what's going on the next day, you need to, at some point, you need to plan your own future, your own thing. And I wasn't sure. So yeah, that was like the only kind of, if I can say, down part of it. But you know, it was such an incredible and unique experience that's, you know, that stuff doesn't even matter. So
if they did like a final show, Ozzy's last hurrah, and they ask you to come on, are you still talk to him and everything? Would you jump on board?
Absolutely. I mean, look, I mean, I'm in really good terms with them. I love them. I owe a lot of my career to them. They have done, you know, they had Ozzy and Sharon gave me an amazing platform. You know, they took me. I mean, I had a career before that, but when I joined his band, you know, that became like such a worldwide thing, and they just helped me establish my own name and my brand, and I'm forever grateful to them for that. So if Ozzy was ever to do a last show or whatever, and he wanted to invite old friends back, I'd be there in a heartbeat. You know, it's up to them, really. I don't think there's a this is not a question for me, really. I would, of course, go there and be with him for one last time or whatever. I mean, I know they've been talking about it, so I don't know. I really don't. I'm not to that other part of it. Like you say, if I'm in touch with them, I'm not really in touch with them anymore. In that kind of like daily sense, you know, it's more like the occasional email, like Merry Christmas and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
But
what do you feel like? I mean, just to be, is it still a pinch me moment? Do you still pinch yourself and say, you know, I was in the same spot as, you know, Zakk Wylde, you know, I mean, Randy Rhoads, Zakk Wylde, Jakey Lee. It's like, it's got to be.
Just, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I still think about that. Like, why, how, you know? But whenever I ask myself these weird questions, because I don't have the answers to those things, I always say that, well, he knows, he made the choice. So if he made that choice and it worked for him and he thought I was a good fit for his band, then that's all that matters.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Because he gets to choose. He can play with whoever he wants and he gets to choose who's next to him. So I after that, I ask no more questions, you know?
Yeah.
That's a cool place for an artist to be in. They can just pick whoever, you know. What you did it. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Gus.
No, I said it is. It's a wonderful, you know, wonderful thing. So, excuse me if you see like my band going.
We love this. Yeah, we love being on the road with bands. I mean, this is do you have a sound check coming up, or what's your schedule for the day?
We did the sound check. We have a meet and greet in a few minutes, and then
gotcha.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool, man.
What Dave kind of touched on this earlier, but you played on a really cool cover of Free Will Burning on David Ellison's solo album many years ago. Not that long ago, but what do you think of Priest? I mean, they're kind of the top of the heap at this point for metal. I mean, what do you think of their career and how they've evolved and they keep going? And Rob sounds, I don't even know how to describe how he still sounds.
Amazing. Yeah. Godly. The metal godly. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, they are the metal gods without a doubt. They are, like, talk about a band that has stuck to their guns, you know, and they've been like flying the flag of metal for so long and have been like, you know, such an example, you know, and for the metal scene and, you know, just such a high quality band, like never disappoints. All their albums are just amazing. Great live band. Such an inspirational. I mean, for me, they've been a huge inspiration in the way I write, like the way I play riffs. Just that style of metal to me, I call it the orthodox metal, you know. That's it, you know, that's as metal as it gets. It's, you know, straightforward, balls to the wall, that's it. So for me, this speaks to me. This is what I loved since I was a kid, and I always loved hearing new Priest music. I was blasting the new album actually a couple of days ago, and I love it. I love the new album.
Yeah.
I was fortunate to meet also Rob, you know, when I was with Ozzy, Rob Halford, with his solo band, they they were on tour with us, and you know, what an icon, Rob Halford. And he's such a sweet guy, such a good guy. And yeah, man.
Yeah. That's freaking awesome. Yeah, I can't stop playing it myself. And you know, for you guys, I mean, almost, you said 23 years of Firewinds. I mean, does it blow your mind that you've been at this for so long, that you've had you're on album 10, right? Studio album 10. I mean, does it feel kind of surreal that, you know?
I try not to think about that so much, you know, because then I start feeling really old.
I just mean in terms of having a lot, because you have so much to be proud of. That's what I mean. There's so much to be proud
of. Yeah, I know.
Being old, but yeah.
No, no.
Yeah.
Actually, it's definitely, you know, when I think about that, it's something that makes me proud. Because I know I've been around, like, in the business. I started very young, in my early 20s. Now I'm almost in my mid 40s, but I've seen also a lot of things, a lot of bands come and go, and I've seen how trends change in music. And I know also how tough it is to make a living doing music. And I know how much of an expensive thing it is to keep a show on the road and travel the world. It's a blessing, but at the same time, it's a very expensive operation. So I always feel very, very lucky and blessed. That's, you know, all our hard work that we do, it's you know, it counted in the end, and it makes some people happy. It makes them happy enough that, you know, it allows us to go to their city and play. So yeah, it's a feeling of, you know, it's a proud moment for me, because I know it's not easy to do it, man. It's like, I know I've seen so many bands split up, you know, they come and go, things. There's in a music career, there's so many ups and downs. So yeah, I'm proud that we were able to stick to what we believe in, and we're here like 22 years later. It's mind blowing. Yeah. But, you know, I'm a kind of guy that doesn't look too much in the past. Yeah. I like to look ahead.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know, when I was doing this album, I was thinking of, what can we do now? What does Firewind have to say now?
Right.
Can we still say something in 2024? And this is where I'm seeing also, like, what can we do for next year? What can we, where can we take this now? This is how I think.
Love that. Yeah.
What do you, with all the social media and stuff going on, there's been a phenomenon of surge of these young guitarists popping up with, you know, making these videos. What are your thoughts on that phenomenon, and how do you think it's impacting guitar playing and metal and everything like that?
I think it has been a very healthy thing for guitar the past decade, especially with social media, with the platforms that you have like a shorter, you have the opportunity to show the world, like even from your bedroom, what you can do. You don't need some A&R executive to discover you anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On the other hand, of course, it's gone crazy, but I think the guitar is in a very healthy spot right now. You see the younger generation coming up, you know, like all these new prog guitarists doing all kinds of crazy things, taking guitar to new heights. And to me, that means a lot, because I think it's, as long as keeps the younger generation interested in picking up the guitar, that is a good thing. You know, that only makes the scene stronger.
Yeah.
And but yeah, I mean, these are my thoughts about it. You know, of course, I think the medium has changed, obviously. You know, like, we cannot talk about the music business like it was 15 years ago. It's a different thing now. Like, somebody was saying the other day, I don't know who, but like, your stage right now is your phone. This is your stage.
Yeah.
For a lot of the younger guys, this is your stage. You just make a video and the whole world can watch you. They can hear you. And you have an equal opportunity as the next guy to I don't know, go viral, break big, or get interest into your craft, into your thing, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So, of course, it's very competitive at the same time, because we are all trying to fight the algorithm.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But you know, that's how it is now. You have to embrace it, I think.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on like AI and stuff like that, kind of, you know, where combined with music?
I still haven't figured out like what this is. I mean, I think of it as a new exciting tool, but like with any tool, it can go the wrong way, or you can use it for a good thing. So I still don't have like specific thoughts about it. But I think it feels that in the next 2 years, we will be talking about a different world from today. That's the feeling I'm getting. I'm talking about on all things, not just music. I mean, everything.
Yeah. You sitting around? Do you sit around and scroll on TikTok and just watch video after video of guitars?
Oh yeah, man.
Are you learning stuff? You learn?
I mostly watch cat videos.
It's soothing, right?
Hey,
I love it. Yeah. I have four cats myself, so I just love to watch funny cat videos. So yeah, and of course guitars. Yeah. Come on, of course I watch guitar videos too.
Yeah. You ever see stuff that you're just like, shit, I should have tried that. I got to try that. A guitar has so many options and there's so many variables.
I see stuff that is inspiring and I see stuff that I'm like, okay, this is not for me, but wow.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, I see guys playing a 7-string, 8-string, 9-string guitars. I'm like, wow, I don't know how they do that, but I definitely will not try that.
Yeah, I'm like, what are those strings? What?
Yeah.
How does that work?
What kind of tuning is that even? I don't even know how to play. Can you do a chord there? What is that?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I had the Elwood, the bass, newer bassist for ZZ Top came out with like a 10-string bass or something. And I'm like, come on, man.
You
don't need that. But it was funny, though. I think they did it as a joke or something, but it was funny.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Man, well, you guys just launched you got a spring tour coming up, right? April is next month. I cannot believe it's almost April. So you'll by April 12th, you'll be in Manchester, New Hampshire, Reading, PA, and then coming up with Detroit in April. You'll be on the road with let's see here, Immortal Guardian and Edge of Paradise. I mean, how cool is it, you know, to kind of see it head to the spring tour, coming to the States again? How does that feel?
Feels good. You know, we just got our visas approved today, so it's a good day. We're coming to America.
Yeah. That's right.
I mean, it's a good package. We have a couple of young bands sort of supporting us. You know, Edge of Paradise and Immortal Guardian, they're also amazing. And 19 shows in America, one show in Canada. It's going to be like the first headline tour we've done in about 12 years. So we were there 2 years ago opening for Dragon Force, but we haven't done like a proper headline thing in a long time. And we were absent from the American market for a while as well. And I regret that, but now we're coming back and we're going to try to fix that. You know, and play for a lot of the people that have been wanting to see the band for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's a good timing for us because I wanted to arrange this in a time where the album drops, it's fresh. So hopefully our fans will be excited and come out and check out the show.
Yeah. Love it.
We can't wait. We can't wait.
We're fired up.
Where are you guys located at?
I'm near Philadelphia in Pennsylvania and Dave's in Detroit.
Yep. Detroit, Michigan. Yeah, man.
Okay. So yeah, we're playing the areas around you. We'll be in the Tolkien Lounge in Westland.
That's right. Yeah. Detroit. Yeah. I know that spot.
Yeah, you guys, if you want to come down, let me know.
Yeah, man, I'd love to check out the show. Hell yeah. Love that. That'd be very cool, dude.
Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, Gus G, thanks for anything else you want to add? I know you got a busy day. You got some meet and greets. You got the show coming up tonight in Vienna. I mean, anything else you'd like to add, sir?
No, thank you very much. It was a fun chat. Sorry for being a bit late.
No worries. That's nothing,
man. And it was a fun chat, man. And no, thank you for the opportunity for, you know, letting me talk about my new stuff. And we'll see everybody in the States next month.
Yeah. Any surprises? Yeah. Any surprises in store from you in the upcoming year? Or is there some cool thing you can't talk about, but some stuff going on?
Well, there's more touring to be done, actually. So we're working on the next thing. So there will be a continuation of this. So we're not done yet, you know?
Nice.
Awesome.
Thank you, sir.
Gus G, Fire, Wind, Stand, United is out now. Fallen Angel, latest single. Very, very cool. Gus G, you rock, man.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one. Have a good one, guys.
Be safe. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah!